Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. morning, church. It's so wonderful to have each one of you with us, especially on a day like today when we're, as predicted, that there's going to be some severe weather later on. It's always exciting when you live in Texas and there predicts snow. So we'll see what happens there, and it's good to have Brother Eric back with us. He's been trapped a long ways from us in East Tennessee. It's good to have him with us. And so we're going to approach the Lord in prayer. If you would please pray with me, and then we'll enter into our lesson this morning. And so, Father, I just pray that you would help us to settle our hearts as we enter into your presence. Father, we are privileged and we are so blessed to be a people that know you, that have your book and have your truth. And I just pray, Father, for this new year as we reflect on all the possibilities that there are in you, how great you are. We desire that you would do something new and fresh and revive our hearts, Lord. And we just thank you for this congregation. We remember the poor who are suffering out in this cold weather, and I pray, Father, that you would give grace and help to us to continue to serve them and all the many other works that this congregation is a part of. And Father, we particularly ask that you would be with us this morning as we read and study your word. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. So this past Sunday, we looked at Daniel chapter 6 as we reflected on the new year that God has given us. And what an example Daniel is as he's faced with opposition. And at one point, it seems like everyone has turned against him. They've passed an edict that you're not allowed to pray to anyone but the king. And what does Daniel do? He continues to pray to his God. He considers that it is far more important to lose his life, to give up the high position that he was about to be promoted to. He would rather lose all this than compromise and offend his God. And so that text challenges us to look inward as we think about what the Lord is desiring in this new year, as we think about the uncertain and challenging times that we face. The Lord is looking for Daniels. The Lord is looking for a pure and uncompromised people, and he is always going to bless these people, and these are the people that most bless the generation in which they live. And this morning, I'd like to discuss and introduce the theme of revival. I believe that this is what is most needed. And so it has been the policy and the position of Brother Kelly through the years that we at the Main Street Church of Christ, we don't talk about politics. And this is a position that I believe very, very firmly in. And I'd like to walk down this road just for a minute. Sure, there are plenty of issues that are very close to the heart and mind of God that he is very clear about, and the church should perhaps take stands at different points. But to use the church to support a political party, or rather to take on the form, or simply to be an extension of a political party, would be to lower ourselves from the high and heavenly calling given to us by our Lord. It's very interesting. Jesus was given the opportunity in John chapter 6. They wanted to make him king. And don't you wish, just if you use your imagination, wouldn't it be nice in the United States of America if we had the option of voting for Jesus? Wouldn't that simplify things? And if we were present in John chapter 6, can't you agree with that desire? just to make Jesus king in order that he could fix all of our problems, but this is not why Jesus came into the world. And I don't believe for a second that the Apostle Paul would renounce his high position as an apostle of the church if he were offered an earthly throne. It is so easy to become distracted by earthly desires and different interests. If we get the church right, the government in turn will be blessed. But if we don't get the church right, there is nothing that can save us. Both parties in this country fall incredibly short in the eyes of the Lord and are entirely incapable of accomplishing the divine mission Christ has given to his church. This is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to offer repentance of sins and salvation in Jesus' name. In fact, we are citizens of a heavenly city whose architect and builder is God, and our hearts should be there likewise. And the Main Street Christ is such a beautiful congregation, and we are made up of different people, of different walks of life, of white and black and Latino, and homeless, rich and poor. And I believe that this is such a beautiful testimony to the world of the power and unity that we find in Jesus Christ. And in a previous time, as a young man, I was very zealous for my country, and I had the desire to enter into politics in some form or fashion. But as I have matured and the Lord has worked on my heart, I am more convinced today than ever that our country is not dependent on the White House, but is dependent on God's house. And if we want to bless our nation, we must first begin with the church. And so the congregation that I grew up at, it was very evident many years ago that they pushed one side of the political spectrum, and today they push an entirely different side of the political spectrum. I fear that there is an identity crisis for many churchgoers that belong to churches that have been overrun by politics. I believe that this is one of the most important issues of our time period. This is one of the greatest threats to the church in the future. When all you hear is political, temporal issues in churches, some begin to think that Christianity is just an extension of a political party. The members begin to drift and forget the deeper essentials of the faith. The end result is, and I say this with pain in my heart, that the church becomes something far less than what Christ purchased with his blood. The divine calling and mission of the church is indescribably greater than any secular agenda. Jesus is not a Republican, and he is not a Democrat. He would not last 2 seconds in either one of these parties. And the Lord Jesus is a jealous God, and he wants his church back. He wants his church to be focused on him. Bishop Burnet, who was a bishop in the Church of England at the turn of the 18th century, author of The History of the Reformation of the Church of England, spoke the following words to describe the weak state of the church in his day. He says the following: "Politics and party eat out among us, not only study and learning, but that which is the only thing that is more valuable, a true sense of religion. This quote could not more adequately describe our generation and the problems that we face in our time. God would later shake that empire and raise up people who would desire to proclaim a truer sense of religion and preach a more primitive gospel. But do you see the design of the devil to distract us with lesser things of less importance? And when we get up in the morning and we prepare to come into the house of God, we don't want to hear about lesser things, but we want to hear about Jesus. We want to hear about the gospel. We want to hear about things that speak to salvation of our souls. So we must unite under this truth that the thing most needed, far more than the air that we breathe, is a sense of true religion. We must be devoted with our whole heart to the ancient faith laid out by Christ our Savior. And once again, the Lord is looking for people like Daniel, who look inward, who focus on themselves, who are focused on godliness and holiness, and those who are focused on this concept of revival, which I'd like to introduce this morning. And so what do we mean when we talk about revival? This is a very confusing, it is a term that the devil likes to manipulate and abuse and even mimic. By revival, I'm not referring to a tent meeting or to a structured series of gatherings, such as meeting Sunday night through Wednesday night. These means may or may not be employed in a revival, but they are not a revival in themselves. Revival is a deep spiritual work within the heart of individuals and churches where there is a renewed and serious interest in all things spiritual. It is a lasting work. It is one that goes home with the congregation and lasts longer than an hour. It is to experience the fullness of the life that is in Jesus. A true revival bears fruit and affects particularly local society. We are the salt of the world, and during a revival, when the church is strong and alive, it affects the society and the neighborhood in which we live. Revival is directly associated with believing and biblical prayer. Prayer is not only the catalyst and the beginning of revival, but it is a sustaining influence. When the people of God begin to pray many times, it is the weakest of Christians that prevail in prayer and obtain a blessing. Their prayer is that the Lord might restore the glory to His church. It may be characterized by a real sense of the presence of God, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit may be witnessed in the conviction of sins. Repentance for shortcomings and sin are necessary elements. There is a serious and urgency connected with revival that concerns itself with the lost. It is a work that starts with the church and concerns itself with arranging that which is amiss in God's house And then once God's people have been revived, as a result, sinners are brought to Christ, and there is an ingathering of the lost. Under such circumstances, some small churches might experience rapid growth. It is an extremely challenging subject, yet the encouragement outweighs any perceived difficulties. And so I want to talk here a minute about how revival is an exciting and encouraging subject to enter. During my teenage years, I spent a great deal of time working and restoring an old classic Bronco. The process was extremely difficult and time-consuming. I remember spending long summers taking just about every single part off of that car and removing the rust, sandblasting, and then reapplying the paint and then putting it back on the car. And you might ask, what keeps someone going and what motivates someone to do something so painstaking in a project that lasted some 2 years? What is the motivating influence? And well, the answer is quite simple. I had such a desire to see the finished product, to see that car revived into its former glory. And in the same way, there is nothing more exciting and more motivating than to consider the power that God has, the transformational power that the living God has in order to get a hold of his people, to revive our hearts, to give us our first love again, to transform us into his likeness, and for the word of God to transform us from one degree of glory into the next, into the image of Christ. And so as we enter this new year, so many people are wanting to transform their bodies, they're wanting to transform their businesses, they're wanting to do all these different things, and those are wonderful, but I want us to seek the Lord with all of our heart and to put him to the test in a sense, and to seek revival. And I believe as we enter this with persistence, there is no end to what God can do in our lives. And so let me speak just a minute here to the need for revival. Why do we need revival? Well, if we look at the Old Testament, it becomes very clear that the children of Israel, like sheep, they so often wandered. We are so prone to drift, to turn back to Egypt in our hearts. The Apostle Paul speaks to the church of the Galatians, and he is perplexed. He is bewildered that they are so quickly deserting the gospel and turning to something that is not a gospel at all, and they have been bewitched. And so it is so easy for us, like sheep, to go astray, and there is a need because of all the counteracting influences of the world, all the different weeds, all those different temptations, like a consuming flood. These competing desires and ideas and lies that are so prevalent come in and influence our hearts to drift away from our first love. And so we have need to renew our faith in order that we might be successful in the mission that God has put before us. And consider this example for a minute. When the fire is raging, it is most necessary that firefighters not be encumbered by excess weight. Can you imagine a firefighter trying to put out a fire weighed down with all kinds of weight? Consider a fireman who is not sober or not alert, and someone who doesn't have a clear mind. someone who is distracted by lesser concerns. We've got a fire that's raging, and the fireman is concerned about something else. This is a great problem. And how great are the consequences if the firefighters slumber in the midst of the fire? And so with the fires of immorality raging in the world, it is only a quickened, alert, watchful church that may quench these fires. It is a revived church that is going to be successful with the mission that has been put before us by our Lord. And there is such a danger, like the hypocrites of the day of Jesus, like the Pharisees, to settle for a form of religion and not to embody what we preach. There is a great delusion of the devil that plagues religious people. It is to be as Pharisees who practice with great zeal an elaborate religion that goes no further than the surface. And imagine a history teacher who talks about different militaries or different famous warriors in history just because he lectures on a particular person in history does not make him that person or does not make him part of that particular movement. And sometimes, like the Pharisees, we can fall into this trap. Matthew says of these individuals, Jesus says in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" And so they're just pretending to be something that they're not. "For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean." And so there is a delusion that if we have cleaned the outside, we feel like we've gone far enough. But the call of revival is that the Lord desires truth in the inward being. The Lord wants to cleanse us from the inside. And when we are successful in this, that's when we are a great blessing and we will experience great fruit and growth in the Lord. Jesus continues, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And so we also, as Christians, have the ability to be like the Pharisees, to be nearsighted. We make great demands upon the unconverted. We say, it's Jesus or the highway. Choose ye this day, heaven or hell. You need to make a quick decision. Yet, when it comes to our own lives, we do not remain consistent with the same sense of urgency to conform to the will of Jesus, that which he has mandated upon our lives. But when we turn to the scriptures, we see that Jesus is concerned with his church above all things. And I believe that Christ clearly outlines our need for revival in his own words, in his letters to his churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And I want to look at a few verses here to try to describe our need and the Lord's desire for a revived people. If we look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, these are Jesus' words to the church in Ephesus. He says in verse 4, But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And so, what is revival? And what is the need for revival? It is that the church might heed the words of Jesus Christ and return with our whole heart to our first love, that which we have left and we are so prone to drift away from. If we look in the next chapter, Revelation 3:1, Jesus tells these words to the church in Sardis. He says, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I come against you. And then in verse 15, Jesus' words to the Laodicean church, he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And then the promise in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. And so this is the invitation that I want us to consider and invite those to look at this new year. Jesus stands at the door of his church. He has an intense longing and interest and desire. When our focus many times can be on external forces and we can be distracted by many things, Jesus is looking to his church. And the thing that he desires above all things is that we might not be a cold church. It's so easy to drift and become lukewarm. It's so easy to become cold, but the Lord Jesus wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire. This is his desire to revive us. And once we achieve this, there is no way to comprehend the amount of eternal blessing, the things which God can do in our lives and in our community. And so I would invite those to consider this concept of revival, to be praying that God would revive this country and revive our church. This is what is most needed above all things. And so this morning, if you are not a Christian, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And the scripture commands that we repent of our sins, that we be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in order that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we walk all the days of our life following and obeying the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And if you are a Christian, and maybe you feel that you have drifted and become lukewarm and maybe even cold, the scripture's plea and the Lord's message this morning is that we pursue our first love, that we return to him with our whole heart, and that we seek that God would revive us again. If this is your desire, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.